Today, I would like to share my testimony with you on how I gave my heart to Jesus at an early age, and later on I backslid a few years later, then stayed away from God for a few years, then came back to Him, and the things I went through. And Jesus has really touched my life and really been a blessing to me, and I've been allowing Him to be a blessing through me to many hundreds and thousands of people around the world, even via the internet, ministering to people on a regular basis. And when I was a little child, God started preparing me to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know it then, but as I look back, I can see it now. When I was very young, I would visualize people getting hurt in some way, and a supernatural power out there somewhere healing them instantly. I would visualize someone cutting themselves real bad, and all of a sudden the cut would just completely heal up with no scar left whatsoever. I would visualize people breaking bones in their bodies, and then just all of a sudden the bone would completely mend with no sign that it was ever broken. There were many more kinds of sicknesses that I would see heal instantly as I would visualize all of these as a young child. I didn't know then what power it was out there that was healing them, but I knew that there had to be such a power and that the supernatural could be done somehow. I didn't know exactly how or where it would come from, but I knew that there had to be a way for that to happen. I later found out that it is Jesus that does it, and that we can do the works that Jesus did too, plus more. You'll find in John 14, verse 12, let's take a look at it. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do." And then he tells you why: "Because I go to be with the Father." I gave my heart to God at the age of 12. I went to school the very next day and told all the students and the teachers what Jesus did for me the day before, and that they should get saved too. I wanted to see everybody give their heart to Jesus. When Jesus came into my heart at the age of 12, it just instantly changed my life. I was so on fire for God. I had such a zeal for God that is still with me. And I never stopped doing that. When Jesus came into my heart at the age of 12, I got so on fire for God immediately that I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Everywhere I went, I told everyone about Jesus. And it's awesome when you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And I literally mean everyone. I wanted everyone to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So this kept on and on. When I was in the ninth grade, I was still doing it. In the ninth grade, my last class for the day was small engine repair. At the end of each day after the small engine repair class, I would go sit on the corner of my instructor's desk and tell him about Jesus and what Jesus had done for me, and that Jesus wanted to do the same thing for him. He listened to me every day, probably for 15, 20 minutes, and then I would go home. One day, he invited me to his home, and he wanted me to preach to his children while he fixed dinner. And I was excited. I had never had an invitation to go preach anywhere before, and this was really right up my alley. And I tell you what, it's just awesome when you really go out there and just tell everybody about Jesus Christ. And so, if you're not telling people about Jesus, you are robbing people of a blessing, of their salvation. You may be the only person, the last person that somebody will ever have a chance to talk to about Jesus, that you will have a chance to lead them to Jesus. That could be their last breath that they ever take. Jesus says to tell people about Him in this city. He says, "Do not be afraid to tell people about Me in this city, for I have many people in this city, and no one will lay hands on you for it to hurt you." So we are commissioned to go forth and tell every single solitary person about Jesus Christ. We are absolutely commissioned by Jesus Christ Himself to do that. And so I went to the instructor's house the next day for dinner, and I was in the living room preaching to his two children while he was preparing dinner. And they didn't give their heart to Jesus, but I planted some seeds there that I knew that were growing. And I just believe that over the past few years that God has brought increase with those seeds, even as I slept, because the word does not return void. It accomplishes what it was sent forth to do. We had a great dinner that night. I made straight A's in that small engine repair class, but it wasn't because I preached to the instructor every day. It was because I was a hard worker. I learned small engine repair real good, and I really enjoyed it. So as I go on with my testimony, you know, I just could not keep my mouth shut. I wanted everybody to know about Jesus Christ. And the whole time, I was wanting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I didn't know how to receive it. And I wasn't allowed to go to the church of my choice. And the church that I was attending, they didn't believe in that. In fact, they taught against the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and all of the gifts, because they just don't believe that the gifts are for today. And I later found out that they are. And God was working in me at an early age. He was showing me all these things, putting all these desires inside of me. And God kept telling me that one day I would turn 18 years old and I could go to the church of my choice. In the meantime, I prayed for everyone and everything that moved to be healed. I never saw anyone get healed or anyone get saved, but I kept doing it anyway. I didn't let it get me down because I was having the time of my life. Jesus was the center of my life. I kept telling myself if I kept praying for people, one day they would start getting healed. If I kept witnessing to people, one day I would see people give their heart to Jesus. I believed that they would be healed, but no one got healed. I kept on telling everyone about Jesus and no one got saved, but I never got disappointed. I was doing what I loved doing the most, and that was being more like Jesus every day. When I turned 18, I found a church that ministered the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and I was there at the very first church service. And you know, a lot of teenagers today, they can't wait till they become an adult so they can go to a bar or go get drunk or, you know, do things that you can't do as a teenager legally. And back then, the legal age to buy alcohol was 18. I believe it's 21 now. But that wasn't where my heart was. My heart was, I was wanting the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, because that's where the power is to fight against the works of the devil. And with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is just awesome the things that we can do in the name of Jesus Christ. After church, after my 18th birthday, and I was at that church service, three old women took me to their house and set me in a chair in the center of the living room floor and told me to sit in it. So I sat in it. And they gathered around me and prayed for God to give me the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I prayed right along with them, asking God to give it to me. Believing, they told me to say da 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 over and over again. Finally, I got tongue-tied, and they started shouting, saying, "You got it, you got it." I didn't feel like I got it, but I went right along with them anyway. So they sent me home. I was totally disgusted. I didn't know what to do after that. I had been waiting all these years to turn 18 so I could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and then this? What a total disappointment. I started thinking out loud along those lines. I said, well, I asked God to give it to me, so I believe He gave it to me. And now all I needed to do was to speak in other tongues. I said, I know what I will do. I will believe by faith that I have the baptism because I asked God for it. And I will just keep saying the syllables that those three old women told me to say. And maybe I will get more syllables to go along with it. Sure enough, after a couple of days, I got a whole sentence in tongues. It just came out. I said, I will by faith. Just keep doing it. And so I was faithful with that. And then I got another sentence in tongues. Now I could say two sentences in tongues. I was believing God to increase my prayer language, and He was. I kept praying in tongues. Everywhere I went, I would pray in tongues. I would say those two sentences. I didn't care where I was at. I was determined to be faithful with it, and it would grow, and grow it did. It wasn't long before I had a complete prayer language. God had given me fluency. I was so happy. It would even totally change up at times, like it was a total different accent altogether. I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I now had the power in my life that I had been wanting. I had been waiting for this and believing God for it. I went back to visit the church where I got saved and tried to convince many people there to receive it. They told the pastor, and he came up to me and told me not to come back to the church because they don't believe in it. I felt like Jesus at that time, because if they did it to Jesus, they will do it to us too. I felt blessed so much, and at the same time, I felt sorry for the church because they wouldn't receive. They didn't know what they were missing out on, and I wanted to minister it to the whole church. So at the age of 19 years old, I got into another church and got in the wrong crowd of people in church. It wasn't on the streets I got into the wrong crowd. It was a church. A group of us would have our after-church fellowship, which consisted of drinking a few beers to justify it by saying we had been to church and it was our after-church fellowship. I still knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway. It wasn't long before it soon led to all of us getting out of church completely. Not long after that, one day, I decided that I didn't want to live a Christian life anymore. I looked up toward heaven like I was looking at God, and I said, "Okay, God, I'm tired of you. I don't want anything else to do with you. God, get out of my life completely." I then looked down at the ground like I was looking at the devil. And I said, "Devil, you come into my life and guide me from this day forward, and I will do anything you tell me to do." I wish I hadn't have done that, but I did. Little did I realize then that Jesus didn't get out of my life. He was still there. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He also says, "I give gifts without repentance." I'm the one that left him and decided to follow the devil. For about the next 9 years, I was living back in my sins. I was working to get drunk. As I look back now during my backslidden state, I can see many instances where God was with me and guiding me in many areas and protecting me. The devil tried several times to kill me, and if it hadn't been for God and my dear mother praying for me, he would have. After 9 years, I wanted God back in my life real bad. I wanted him at least as much as I had him before, and not one bit less. I remembered the joy and happiness I had in God. I would say a sinner's prayer every day for 2 weeks. I would look up toward heaven and say a sinner's prayer, asking God to come back into my life. Then I would bow my head, close my eyes for a couple of minutes, hoping to feel something different. When I didn't feel anything different, I would stand up, pop the top on a can of beer, and hold it up to heaven as high as I could get it, and say, "God, toast to you." I would proceed to get drunk. This went on for a good 2 weeks, every day. After about 2 weeks of it, I started to get scared, because I didn't think God was going to ever come back into my life, and that he didn't want me anymore. I was almost thoroughly convinced that I was headed to hell, no matter what I did, or how many sinner's prayers I said. I was really starting to get beyond scared. I didn't want to go to hell, and I didn't want to keep living in my sins. I wanted God in my life, and I wanted all God could possibly give me. After 2 weeks of saying the sinner's prayer, one night I was expecting the guys I worked with over to pick me up to go bar hopping. I put on a gospel music album on my DJ system, and I sang right along with it, looking out my window the whole time, because I didn't want them to know I was searching for God. When they drove up, I took the gospel album off and put on a rock and roll album real quick, and they had no idea I was listening to gospel music and searching for God. In fact, no one on the face of the earth knew I was searching for God except me and God. The last thing I wanted to do was to get their advice, knowing what they would tell me, which is to forget it. I didn't want to hear that, because I was determined to get God back in my life one way or the other without anyone advising me against it. The best way I knew of to make sure that didn't happen was to keep it between me and God. After all, God is the only one that could come into my heart, and I didn't see any need in telling everyone else or anyone else, especially those that wasn't a Christian. We went bar hopping that night, and I was absolutely miserable, because all I was thinking about was how to get God in my heart. My mind wasn't in the bars. It was on God. We hit most every bar in town that night. I went home drunk, and I took some more beer home with me. I went to bed and took some beer to bed with me. I was planning on drinking some more. As I was drinking, I noticed my Bible on the end table. I hadn't read it in over 9 years. I picked it up and wiped the dust off of it and let it flip open to where it wanted to. Does that sound familiar? It flipped open to John 14, verse 12, the verse I mentioned to you earlier, which says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." I would take a drink of beer and read that verse, and take a drink of beer and read that verse. Before long, I would take a drink of beer and read that verse and pray. Take a drink of beer and read that verse and pray. I would try to read something else in the Bible, but nothing else would stand out at me. So I would go right back to John 14:12. So for about the next 3 hours, I would read that same verse, take a drink and pray. Read that verse, then I would take a drink, then I would pray. It was a vicious cycle for about 3 hours. Read, drink, and pray. Read, drink, and pray. Read, drink, pray. All of a sudden, I heard an audible voice, just as if I am standing in the room and someone is talking to me. It was just as if someone was in the room right beside me talking to me. It was a man's voice that was very deep and with great authority. It said, "Go to church tomorrow." It scared me so bad, I got out of bed and went running around the house to see if anyone was in the house with me. I looked in every room and in every closet in the house, and there was no one. I got some more beer and took it to bed with me. I proceeded to drink and read that same verse and pray in the same vicious cycle over and over again. After a few minutes, I heard the same voice. It said, "Go to church tomorrow." That time, God opened my understanding that it was Him that had said that both times, and that was what He said the first time. I said, "Okay, God, I will go to church tomorrow." This was on a Saturday night. With that, I went right off to sleep. I woke up the next day with a hangover and headache from being drunk the night before. I didn't go to church that morning because I was not in any shape to go to church. Later that day, God reminded me that I told Him I would go to church that day. I said, "Yes, God, I will go to church today, but I don't know where to go." He reminded me that 2 weeks prior to that, my mother had invited me to a church. I said, "Okay, I will go to my mother's house and find out where the church is, and I will go to that church." I told God that I would go to church today for one reason only, and that was to give Him one more chance to come into my heart. I told Him that I wanted at least as much of Him as I had before and not any less. I told God that I wanted at least as much joy and at least as much of the anointing that I had before I backslid. I said, "God, if you don't save me in church today, then I will be fully convinced that you won't ever save me again, and that you don't want me back, and that you are finished with me, and I'm going to hell no matter what I do." I didn't even know what time church started, because I haven't been to church in over 9 years. I had a 1977 Cadillac Seville and never had any problems out of it whatsoever. I got ready for church. I got in the car, turned the key over, and click, click, click. Nothing. I said, "I will fix this." So I got out of the car, walked around to the hood. I laid my hands on the hood of the car, and I said, "Satan, I bind you up in the name of Jesus, and I command you to get your hands off this car in the name of Jesus. And car, I command you to start in the name of Jesus." With that, I got back in the car, turned the key over, and the car started right up. There I was, going to church to get saved and praying for a car to start. Praise God. I got to my mother's house and found out where the church was that she had invited me to 2 weeks prior. I went to church, and I got there 5 minutes early. Someone outside invited me to sit next to them. We sat three pews from the front. I had a great view of the pastor. The whole time he was preaching, I kept looking at the back door. I wanted to get up and run out of church. I was shaking for some reason. The devil kept telling me, if you don't get up and get out of here, the walls are going to cave in and kill you and everyone in here. I didn't want everyone to see me run out, so I sat there hoping the preacher would get to the invitation. That's all I wanted to hear was the invitation. After all, I went to church just to give my heart to God. The preacher saw that I was struggling with something. He didn't know what, so he cut his message short. I couldn't tell you anything the preacher preached on. All I wanted to do was get saved. The preacher cut his message short and stepped in front of the pulpit and held his hands out in front of him and said, "If you want Jesus in your heart, come up here." He didn't have to tell me twice. I shot out of that pew and ran to him just as fast as I could go. If I had been sitting in the back of the church as fast as I was running, by the time I got to him, I would have been going fast enough to knock both of us through the wall behind him. And it was a few feet behind him. My fingertips touched his fingertips and my knees gave out and I saw lightning, and that's all I remember. The Holy Spirit picked me up, threw me 10 feet to my left, and picked the pastor up and laid him right beside me. We were both slain in the Holy Spirit. Some people say that I never even touched the floor. They say I was floating in thin air. The pastor woke up before I did and started praying over me. When I woke up, there we both were sitting on the floor in front of 300 people, and he was praying over me. He held the microphone to my mouth, and I tried to say I want Jesus in my heart, but tongues was coming out. I shut my mouth, and I said, I will try this again. So I opened my mouth a second time, and tongues started gushing out. I closed my mouth real quick and said to myself, I will try it again and see if I can say it in English. I opened my mouth and tried it a third time, real slowly. I said, I want Jesus in my heart. I said it slowly, trying to get it out in English. I managed to say it in English that time. I shut my mouth real quick before I started speaking in tongues again. So sitting on the floor in front of 300 people, the pastor led me into a sinner's prayer. That ended the church service, and we had dinner at church after that. Did Jesus save me at church that night or that day? You better believe he did. Jesus took me back. The Bible says, seek me and you shall find me. And I searched God till I got him in my heart again. My life changed instantly. I had more of the joy and the anointing of God than I had before I backslid. God had answered my prayers. I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I was immediately telling everyone everywhere what Jesus had done for me, and he wanted to do the same thing for them. Since then, Jesus has literally shown me that John 14:12 is true. When Jesus said we can do the works he did plus more because he has gone to be with the Father. I have signs and wonders following me everywhere I go. But before I could start walking in the fullness of God like he wanted me to, he had some things he wanted to teach me so I would know how to do the works that Jesus did plus more. I was lacking the knowledge of knowing how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, so I started praying, asking God to put people in my path that could teach me about the supernatural. I prayed earnestly for God to teach me how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I prayed for God to show me how to walk in the supernatural every day. I had a great desire, but I wanted to talk to someone that was doing that every day. I wanted results when I prayed for the sick. I wanted to see them get healed. I wanted to see the blind eyes open, the lame man to walk, diabetes come out of people, arms and legs grow out, demons come out of people. I wanted to see everyone I prayed for get healed. I knew there was a supernatural power out there, and I could tap into it, and I was determined to do the works of Jesus plus more. 3 weeks after I gave my heart back to God, the pastor made an announcement that these healing evangelists named Charles and Francis Hunter was coming to speak for a few days. I had never heard of them before, but I knew all I needed to know, and that was they knew about healings. I was definitely going to be there without a doubt. I couldn't wait. That had to be the longest 3 weeks of my life waiting for them to come and speak. I knew I was going to learn all I could while they were here. Little did I know that my life was about to be affected drastically by their visit. I was running the soundboard at the church, and I had a great glimpse of Charles and Francis Hunter while they were speaking. I even had headphones I could wear to make sure I didn't miss a single solitary word. Their ministry was just supernatural. I was not believing what I was hearing. They said, if God can do it, we can too. If Charles and Francis Hunter can do it, we can too. They were talking about doing the works Jesus did plus greater works than Jesus did. I said, God, this is it. You have answered my prayers. I didn't want them to ever leave town. I needed them. I couldn't let them go. I said, I have got to find a way to stay in touch with these people named Charles and Francis Hunter even after they are gone. Glory to God. Charles and Francis was teaching about the supernatural, and I had to learn all I could from them, and I was determined to. God also had a plan for that I didn't know about at the time that included an ongoing relationship with Charles and Francis Hunter. God just kept on answering prayers. Charles and Francis talked about a healing explosion that was coming soon to Memphis, Tennessee. In order to be on a healing team, I had to read the 2 books, How to Heal the Sick and the Handbook for Healing, and watch the 15-hour healing tapes. I wanted to be on the healing team. I was determined to get qualified and be in Memphis at the Coliseum. A few days went by and time was running out in order to get qualified. I prayed again because in the natural, there was no way to go through all of that material in so short of a time. God has a way of working out every detail. It was so supernatural. I got down 3 days before the healing explosion, and I did not even have the books or the tapes. Where in the world could I get a copy of them? God knew. If I had them, how could I go through the 15 hours of video teaching and read 2 books in 3 days, plus work my full-time job? God had that worked out too. I talked to the pastor at church and asked if he knew how I could get the material. He said the Hunters left the books and the videotapes for the church to have a healing training service, and no one in the church was going to conduct the healing class, and he told me that I was welcome to them, but I had to return them in 3 days because they had to send the material back to the Hunters. I agreed to have them back to the church in 3 days. This was all working out perfectly. My employer called me at home that night and said, Dale, I have to be out of town for 3 days, and all you need to do is just be here and answer the phone. He said, if you want to, you can bring a TV and a VCR and maybe some books to read. I said, okay, I will. I hung up the phone and shouted, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. There was my answer. I told you God was working out every detail. I went to work the next 3 days and took my TV, VCR, and the 2 books to work with me. I was getting paid to go through the Hunter's material. That's the kind of God we serve. To make a long story short, I went through half the tapes the first day and the second half the second day and read both books the third day and got paid for it. That's supernatural altogether. That's what you call a crash course. The thing about is my employer didn't even know about me wanting to go to the healing explosion in Memphis, but God did. God not only knew I wanted to go, but God wanted me to go. God ordained that whole thing. Another thing God told me is, Dale, No one at the church is going to conduct a video healing school by the Hunters. He said, I want you to do it in your home. I conducted many healing services in my home using their material, and lots of people came from the church and people that didn't even attend that church or any other church to attend my healing services. I turned my town upside down for Jesus using the Hunter's books and tapes, and still doing it today. The day of the healing explosion, my employer said, I want to give you $100 to make the trip with, and you don't have to pay it back. He said, all I want you to do is to ask Charles and Francis Hunter to pray for me and my family. I wrote down his prayer request, and after the first healing service in Memphis, I gave the prayer request to Charles and Francis Hunter. Tell me God doesn't provide everything. He provides for every little detail. At the healing explosion in Memphis, I was on the healing teams. Would you believe where God put me? In the wheelchair section. Can you believe that? Guess what I saw? People coming out of wheelchairs that hasn't walked in years. I saw deaf ears opening up. I saw people healed that had sicknesses for years. I was flowing in the supernatural power of God. I was doing the works of Jesus plus more because He said I can. I was learning how because He put Charles and Francis Hunter in my life. Here, open your Bible up to Mark chapter 16. And Jesus is, He is just so full of blessings. And He wants to do His works through us. All we have to do is let Him do it. And for those of you that is wanting Jesus in your heart, either for the first time or you're wanting to come back to Jesus, I know this testimony is really blessing you mightily and tremendously. Jesus wants you back. Jesus never left you nor forsook you. You're the one that leaves Him. It's our choice. And we're not robots, praise the Lord. And so open your Bible to Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15. And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Are you a believer? If you are a believer, then you will do this. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It does not say the devil will follow those that believes. So many people brushes the devil off of one shoulder. 5 minutes later, they're brushing him off of the other shoulder. They think the devil follows them everywhere they go. That's not biblical anywhere in the Word of God. The Word of God says if you are a believer, signs and wonders shall follow you if you are a believer. In my name, that's in the name of Jesus, you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. It does not mean you're going to get another tongue in your mouth to speak with. It means you're going to speak in tongues with the same tongue that you have. It's your heavenly language. Glory to God. And I like the last 11 words that Jesus spoke before He was received up into heaven in verse 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And this is my favorite part, the last 11 words, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I tell you what, I lay hands on the sick, and they recover in the name of Jesus Christ. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Let me tell you a story about somebody I minister to. It's absolutely phenomenal. I got a call one day to go to somebody's house to pray for this couple. So I got one of my prayer partners to go with me. So we got out there and we drove up to the house, and we didn't even get out of the car before this little old lady came out on the front porch shouting, saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I always knew Jesus was going to send somebody to pray for my husband, and he's going to be healed. And so when we saw that, I tell you what, our faith just shot sky high. And because a lot of times when I minister to people, I try to do a little testimony session with them in order to lift their faith a little bit, or to get them to the point to where they actually believe that they're going to be healed. And we didn't even have to do that. I mean, these people were ready. They was wanting to be healed. They knew they could be healed. And they actually knew that this was going to be their time. And they was touching the hem of Jesus' garment. So we got out of the car. She was jumping up and down, had her hands raised toward God. on the front porch shouting, "Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, amen." So we went in the house, and she wanted us to pray for her. She had high blood pressure and diabetes. Her husband was in a wheelchair, hadn't walked in several years, and he had high blood pressure and diabetes, and we also found out that he could not hear. He was totally deaf. And the dog hadn't ate in 3 days. So they got us to pray for the dog too, which was a new experience for me, but the dog got healed. So we laid our hands on her husband. He was in a wheelchair. One of my friend, he laid his hands on his right shoulder. I laid my hand on his left shoulder, and I did just like Paul did in the Bible. I said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus." And about that time, he said, "Huh?" I turned around. I looked at the wife. I said, "Can he hear?" She said, "He can't hear. He's deaf." I said, "Well, praise God. That's easy." So my friend stuck his finger in the right ear. I stuck my finger in the left ear. And I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the spirit of deafness to loosen you and let you go right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, I bind you up in the name of Jesus, and I command you to leave him right now in Jesus' name. And ears, I command you to open up in the name of Jesus." And guess what? I stood behind him. I whispered. He repeated what I said. I got a few feet behind him. Further than that, I whispered. He repeated what I said. I got a few feet further behind him. I whispered. He repeated everything I said. The whole time, the wife was getting so excited. She was over there standing and jumping up and down, shouting, praising the Lord, because her husband could now hear. He was also getting excited, and his faith was sky high. And so we took care of the hardest part first, which was the deafness. Well, according to God, it's not the hard part, because it's all easy with God. So anyway, we laid our hands back on his shoulder, and I said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he started trying to get up out of that wheelchair. And how many of you knows, if you have not walked in several years, your legs has no strength in it, or very little strength. So we had to help him up. It took about 5 minutes for the strength to circulate back through his legs, and for the strength to come back into the legs. It took about 5 minutes trying to help him out of that wheelchair. But once the strength came back, then he started walking around the living room. He was walking real slow, but he was walking. First time he walked in several years. And then he started walking faster and faster. He was walking into the kitchen, into the living room. Then he walked faster and faster. Then he started running inside the house, all the way through the house, from one room to the other. The wife was following him. She was running. He was hearing every word we were saying. And glory to God. So then we prayed for their high blood pressure and their diabetes to be totally gone, to just absolutely leave their body in the name of Jesus. So we did our work there. We did the ministry. We did the prayer. We did all the blessings that God told us to bless them with, which is what Jesus provided up on the cross over 2,000 years ago. But it became manifested in their life that day. And so I got a call a couple days after that, to where they had gone to the doctor. They got their results from the doctor. And the test came back that they were both totally healed of high blood pressure and diabetes. He was still walking, and he was still hearing, and the dog was still eating. So how many of you know that healings last? When Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed. Glory to God. And all you have to do is just take every opportunity that God gives you. Go forth and minister to the sick. I remember one time I was in a grocery store. This one teenager walked up to me. I was back at the meat department, and he comes running up to me. He says, Brother Dale, he says, "I've been watching you on TV for several years." And he said, "I am so glad to meet you." He said, "I want Jesus in my heart." His mother's standing right there. He said, "Can you lead me to Jesus?" I said, "Sure." I led him into a sinner's prayer, and he was so excited. He got so on fire for God. But I don't care if it's at a meat department, produce department, if it's out in the middle of the street, up in an airplane, or where it is. Open your great big mouth for Jesus. Be prepared at any given moment to lead people to Jesus Christ and to tell them about Jesus. And we can't keep Jesus to ourselves. We have to give him away. And by giving away what Jesus has given to us, then we get more in return. We have to have a love and compassion for people. Jesus had a love and compassion. He proved it. He died on the cross so that we can be saved. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior today, I want you to repeat this prayer after me and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross. You came into the earth in the flesh, and you walked on this earth, and you died on the cross, and you were buried in a grave, and you rose 3 days later so that I can live. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all of my sins. Wash them, wash me white as snow, and throw my sins as far as the east is from the west. And Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you all of me, Jesus, in return for all of you. And Jesus, please come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior forevermore." Now say, "Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart and becoming my Lord and my Savior. I now confess with my big, big mouth, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Tell everybody you see that you are saved. Tell everybody what Jesus has done for you and that Jesus can and will do the same thing for them. It is absolutely awesome to be living a Christian life. There is no future in drug or alcohol. Drugs or alcohol. There's no future in doing the works of the devil. There's only future through Jesus. If you're not going to live for Jesus, when you take your last breath on this earth, you will spend eternity in hell. But as a Christian, praise God, heaven, this earth is not our home. We're only here to tell everybody else about Jesus. Heaven is our home. And when we take our last breath here, instantaneously we're going to be in heaven to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. So praise the Lord. Welcome to the family of God. If you just accepted Jesus into your heart, congratulations. God bless you. Every angel in heaven is rejoicing over your salvation. In fact, Jesus said, "Heaven, stand still. Hold on. Wait a minute. I hear somebody calling my name." And Jesus came into your heart. Glory to God. There are so many ways for you to be a blessing to other people. Lay hands on the sick, see them recover. If you haven't been doing it, you may want to start out with somebody that's got a headache. Lay your hand on them, say, "I command this headache to leave your body in the name of Jesus." And their headache will leave them in the name of Jesus. And work your way up. It won't be long. You'll be praying for people with cancer. You'll see cancer literally coming off of people's bodies. You can see brand new hearts placed into people's bodies. In fact, one time I was doing a TV show, a live show, and this one lady called in. She said, "Can you pray for my husband?" And I didn't know this lady. And they gave me the message live over TV. So I said, okay. So I prayed for her husband. And what happened, while I was praying, God showed me something, and I called out the word of knowledge that God told me to call out live over TV. I pointed my finger right in that TV camera. I said, "Right now, your husband is getting a brand new heart placed into his body supernaturally by the power of God." I said, "He was scheduled for heart surgery, but God is doing it right now." And I just believed it because God showed it to me. So anyway, what happened, for a couple weeks later, I was doing another show and I got a phone call, and it was that same lady called and gave a testimony. It was her husband. She was confirming the fact that he was scheduled for heart surgery and that he got a brand new heart right there watching television, because I had enough faith to call out a word of knowledge that God gave me, and enough faith in God to believe that if I spoke a new heart into him, that he's going to get a new heart, which he did. He didn't have to have that heart surgery at the hospital. In fact, he had it directly from God, supernaturally by the power of God. And that's all we have to do. I have so many testimonies on how people's lives has drastically been changed, from salvation to healings to deliverance, casting devils out of people, to growing out arms and legs. This is absolutely the greatest time on the face of the earth to be living for Jesus Christ, because we have the Holy Spirit here. Things are getting worse. We have a lot of wars going on. Earthquakes are taking place. All these are spoken of in the Word of God. Sin is abounding that much more, but where sin abounds that much more, so does grace abound that much more. And God is placing His Spirit inside of people today, and God's people is going forth today in greater measure than ever before and seeing so many signs and wonders take place. There's no reason to be living for the devil. There's no future in the devil. It is fun living for Jesus Christ and seeing signs and wonders follow you everywhere you go, because Jesus says it would happen. Are you a believer today? Are you going to allow the signs and wonders to follow you today? And God bless you. Thanks for listening to this. Hope that it has really been a huge blessing to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. May God bless you today. And remember to pray for somebody today, because they will be blessed and so will you. God bless you.
The reason we called you today is because today is your day of ordination.
Praise God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And, you know, the interesting thing, I was thinking to myself, I don't really have to ask Dale the questions because I know the answers to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I will ask them of you anyway. Isaiah 61, the first chapter, or the first verse, says, and this is from the Amplified Bible, and I want you to really catch the meaning of this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because God has anointed and qualified me.
Amen.
You know, the other ones just say, God, the Lord has anointed me.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Amplified says, and qualified me, which I think is absolutely incredible. So He has qualified you to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year for His favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, that's exactly what it says, except it will say in the New King James on your ordination certificate. But then I was reading another scripture today that I think is so good for us to remember at all times. And this is from Luke, the 9th chapter, the 23rd verse. And He said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself. That is, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. That is, cleave steadfastly to me and conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. For whoever would preserve his life and save it will lose it and destroy it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he will preserve and save it from the penalty of eternal death. And you know, I thought, if there's ever anybody I know that has disowned himself, denied himself, lost sight of himself and his own interests, it's a young man named Dale Ross.
Thank you.
Am I speaking the truth?
Yes, ma'am. Very much so.
All right. Well, you see, Dale, because we know you and we know your heart. See, that's the important thing, is your heart. And because we know your heart, with the authority that's vested in us by the state of Texas and by the Almighty God, we ordain you as a minister of the gospel, to do the same things that Jesus did, because He has anointed you and you have been equipped to do everything God calls you to do. Now, I want to tell you something else. This is just from my heart. Bob Tilton was the one who ordained Charles and Francis Hunter. But you know who really ordained us?
Jesus.
God. Yes. You see, and the same thing is true of you. Your calling has not been from a man. Your calling has been from God. That's why I believe that this, that these statements that I'm making to you are really surplus, just because it is God who has put his hand on you. God has anointed you. And that's why we, as just as an earthly thing, we ordain you as a minister of the gospel. Father, in the name of Jesus, Charles and I anoint Dale, and we give to him all of the anointing that we have where healing is concerned or where the gifts of the Spirit are concerned. We thank you, Father, that you have called him to be a disciple. You have called him to be a mighty man of valor. And Father, we just give you the praise and the glory for the commitment that he has to you. And thank you, Father, that you have this day officially ordained him as a minister of the gospel. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And
right,
I take an unlimited portion of the mantle that y'all have, too.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay? Wonderful, wonderful. Use it, my brother.
Amen.
All right, dear. God bless you.
God bless y'all, and thank
okay.
you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.